Welcome. I'm Benjamin Bernstein with AstroShaman.com. Today, I'm going to talk about the biggest astrological event of 2021, the Saturn-Uranus square. I'm in the process of preparing for my big annual forecast lecture. I'll give that for the Astral Friends of Astrology. And before then, I just wanted to share with you what is for sure the highlight event. This does not replace that lecture. I'll be making that available a little bit later after it's complete. But I wanted to give you like the big highlights so you'd have at least a sense of what's the big front page bull type energy for the coming year. And it's Saturn square Uranus. By the way, there will be no graphics in this. This is just a talking head video. And when I do the actual forecast lecture, there'll be lots of graphics and such along with that. But this is just your preview. So Saturn is square Uranus three times in 2021. The exact alignment dates are February 17, June 14, and December 24th. And the orb of power, meaning they're close enough to the square to be a meaningful connection, actually starts on December 9 of 2020 and lasts all the way through March 10 of 2022. That's a 15-month orb of power. So the entire year of 2021 and then some. There are several periods, however, when its effects will be even more pronounced, and that's going to be when trigger planets line up by quadrature. Quadrature means it's a conjunction, opposition, or square. Mars will do this twice. There will be a T-square formed by Mars, Saturn, and Uranus, June 16 through July 15, peaking on July 2nd. Within that also, within that rough time frame, there will be a second Saturn-Uranus square on June 14, as I mentioned, just 2 days before the T-square actually begins its orb. And on June 21, just 5 days into the T-square, there is a solar eclipse to make it a little more potent. So that first window is especially powerful. The second window when Mars comes in and amps up the power of the Saturn-Uranus square will be November 3rd through November 26 of 2021. Peaking on the 14th of November, and there will be a lunar eclipse in the midst of all that on November 19. So those are the primary factors that are going to make that broad period even more intense during those windows, again, June 16 through July 15 and November 3rd through November 26. So what's going to happen? As always, when I do my annual forecast lectures, I refer to a wonderful book by Wren Butler. It's called The Archetypal Universe, Astrological Patterns in Human Culture, Thought, Emotion, and Dreams. In the past, I've simply just kind of run his list without commentary, but this time, for both this and the actual forecast lecture I'll be doing in mid-November, I'm going to take some of his themes and then I'm going to elaborate on them, a step up from my simple repetition of the past. And by the way, Wren is fine with me using his book as a source. So I'm going to take just a few of the key clusters of themes. These are not by any means the complete list of what Saturn and Uranus can do together, but I took the ones that I thought were most resonant and important. So here's, again, from Wren Butler's book, a cluster of the themes of Saturn-Uranus, and then I'm going to make some commentary on them. So here are his themes. Hard-won liberation, liberation in increments, conscious and deliberate freeing of yourself, a sense of nothing given freely. So this is the Uranus urge toward freedom and liberation being, you know, slowed down by the conservative or restrictive energy of Saturn. So what I perceive is going to be happening in 2021, some particulars that might, now I must emphasize here, astrology is archetypally predictive. It is not concretely predictive. I gave my forecast lecture last year before 2020. I did not predict a pandemic. I did not predict the rise of Black Lives Matter. I knew the energy would be intense and powerful things would be happening, but I don't know exactly what's coming down the pike. I'm not claiming to be a psychic who sees the unchangeable future or anything like that. I think the future has a great deal of flux in it. But what I would expect is that the Black Lives Matter movement, which rose to such prominence this year in 2020, will continue to make gains, but again, by increments. It won't just be a gimme. There will be continued liberation, continued awareness of this, but it will be, again, a lot of effort will be needed. I have educated myself on this topic a fair amount, especially two books by Ibram X. Kendi, who's a marvelous scholar. I first read his book called How to Be an Anti-Racist, and I recently finished his epic book, Stamped from the Beginning, which traces the entire history of racism in the United States from its very inception. very, very eye-opening book. One of the key insights I took from that is every time the United States has made radical advances, whether it's eliminating slavery or the civil rights movement of the 60s, those were not done because, you know, the white people in power just had moments of conscience to realize it was a good thing. It was always politically motivated. The freedom of the slaves and giving them the right to vote was done for political reasons. The Republican Party, which at the time was the one who wanted to free the slaves, they wanted the voting power the blacks would give them in the 60s during the civil rights time. The United States was very concerned about its image in Africa, where many countries were coming into independence, and they had a very bad rap as far as the way blacks were being treated in the U.S. This is according to Kendi, of course, and that movement was driven more by the United States' concern with how other countries thought about it than by just the inherent rightness of having more civil rights for those who were not white. So that was a little bit of an eye-opener for me. I'd never really understood that. I recommend both those books highly, How to Be an Anti-Racist and Stamped from the Beginning by Ibram X. Kendi, if you want to take a deeper dive into systemic racism and all the things around that. So anyhow, one of the ways I expect this hard-won liberation in increments happening in 2021 will be the continued work toward raising consciousness around that and the continuing awareness of that deeply systemic structure so that it can be freed. One last teaching I'll share from those books is that race is a completely false construct. There is no biological basis for race. Scientists have proven that all humans are 99.9% identical in their DNA. And within certain white populations, there's actually more genetic diversity between white people in the same country than there is between whites and blacks. And so basically, race has more to do with you live in a certain climate and your skin is lighter or darker based on how much sunlight you get than any genetic variation. So that was another bit of wisdom I gained from that. So now let's move on to our next concept from Ren Butler's book around Saturn Square Uranus, challenging the bedrock assumptions of a worldview. Again, the bedrock assumption would be Saturn, and the challenge would come from Uranus, who's very revolutionary and wants to shake things up. So in the deep reading I've been doing over the years, the structures I see that are bedrock assumptions that need challenging are capitalism, the endless growth concept versus the need for sustainability. There's a third I'll bring in a moment. So a few years ago, it struck me as just insane, the idea that the purpose of life and the thing we strive for is to have more stuff, and you know, then that the accumulation of capital and possessions would be the primary motivation for humans. You know, our science of psychology has shown so deeply that's not what makes people fundamentally happy. What makes them happy is community and connection and a sense of purpose, and nature connection is also a powerful happiness motivator. So we've been on this this crazy ride for quite a few centuries now around capitalism. Accumulation of wealth is the end goal. And that is, of course, tied up with the endless growth concept, because for countries to gain power and grow their capital, they have to keep exploiting resources. And that's why, you know, I imagine if I was an alien coming down and seeing what humans are doing right now, they'd say, oh my God, why are these people at war with their own planet? Why are they destroying the very planet they depend on for their livelihood? And why are they killing off so many species? It's all because of this imaginary idea called money and capitalism. And it's just, you know, crazy, in my opinion. So more and more people are challenging this bedrock assumption that it's all about capitalism is a great way to be, and we need to constantly grow our economies until we get more toward a more sane sustainability paradigm and realize we only have so many resources. And I don't care if we go mine the moon and the asteroids, we still need to give back as much to this planet as we take and live here in a way that is sustainable for future generations. You know, that bedrock assumption, I believe, will continue to be more deeply questioned as we go into 2021. Another level of bedrock assumption is many people assume that their fundamental reality is that they're a human being. And my experience for years has been, I am not a human being fundamentally, I'm a divine being having a human experience. And anyone who's had a deep enough awakening knows that. They realize, wow, this human body is a shell I am temporarily using. It's like my rent-a-car. And at some point, I'm going to turn it in and move on, because the soul continues and has many more incarnations and many experiences, frankly, beyond human. Human, I believe, is just a teeny little subset of the soul's entire arc of experience. So that bedrock assumption can be helpful too. Once you awaken to what you really are, which is spirit, pure consciousness that cannot be destroyed or harmed in any way, it changes your whole worldview, and you naturally have more unconditional love and compassion and the kind of energy that is more supportive of the beautiful world we're moving into and that we're having this challenging transition toward. So another bedrock assumption that I think will be increasingly questioned by more and more people, the very assumption that my primary identity is as a human being at all. And more people having the direct experience, I am a being of light, a being of consciousness, a being of love. That is my fundamental reality as I experience it. And I experience my humanity as a subset of that instead of the other way around, or not knowing the divine at all. Let's go on to the next set of concepts from Red Butler around the Saturn-Uranus square. Breakthroughs in deep self-exploration by becoming the resistance. Liberation from fear by being acutely subjected to fear. Personal suffering becomes archetypal suffering. Tragedy consumed by experiencing its emotion fully. So these are all things that deal with shadow work and being able to move deeply into the challenges you're experiencing. And in my experience, if a person wants to do this for themselves, this can be done very powerfully with my healing invocation. And if you would like to check that out, there will be a link to it under this video. And if not, you can just go to astroshaman.com and click the invocations link on the menu bar. Right now, as I record this, there is a link. If you click invocations on the menu bar, it will take you to a couple of posts. Within a few days, though, that's going to be replaced by the ability to receive 6 videos, which will go deep into my invocations for awakening and healing. Basically, the healing invocation assigns your healing to your higher self. You just say maximum healing that serves highest good, please. And you relax into simple awareness of the challenging energy in your body. And you shine the spotlight with your attention. The divine comes in, stirs it up, flushes it out, and that level is cleared permanently. Again, there's a lot more to it. So I encourage you, if you're interested, to check out that DIY process by going to astroshaman.com and clicking the word invocations, the last word on the menu bar. But whether you're doing that or any other kind of shadow work, shamanic ceremonies, breathwork processes that are holotropic breathwork, or any of its many variations, all kinds of ways are out there where you can do processes that bring you face to face with the old traumas and give you a safe container to work through them. It's a good year for shadow work with Saturn square Uranus. In fact, Ren Butler, who wrote this book, is deeply, deeply involved in holotropic breathwork and other shadow work modalities. He's very wise in that area. All right, there's another set of concepts here that are somewhat related to the first. Being unable to hold rigid positions or stay stuck permanently, working out specific karmic problems, and unexpected rewards for your pain. And isn't that a hopeful thought to say, well, I literally could not stay stuck permanently if I tried. Uranus won't let me. He'll unstick me somehow, even if he has to give me a challenge to get me there. Working out specific karmic problems, that is the nature, whatever catalyst is coming up for you, whatever's causing you to feel challenged, that, of course, is some kind of karma you need to work with. And unexpected rewards for your pain. To me, the reward's not unexpected, but every time you do good shadow work, whether it's my healing invocation or any other effective modality, you'll come out of that process of intense challenge into an increased illumination. I use a metaphor called the Great Onion of Consciousness, which describes you, your true divine essence at the center, perfect love, light, bliss, and ecstasy, then covered over by layers of pain, layers of darkness from all those human lifetimes, including this one, where you had some kind of trauma or wound and didn't heal it fully. And that onion gets created by those layers of pain. And yet here you are, the human just outside that onion. And every time you do a successful shadow work round, a layer falls off, the light's brighter from your human perspective, and you get an uptick in your awakening. and you can have these upticks the whole rest of your life. It always gets better than this. So that is what I think of when he says unexpected rewards for your pain. Let's move now to another concept about Saturn square Uranus, death in one place leading to rebirth elsewhere. This is a big one. And this is the first thing I thought of when I started studying the coming year and saying, okay, Saturn Uranus square is the big one. Global breakdown of antiquated structures. And that includes government, business, all relational and societal structures from the most personal and intimate to the largest and broad scale. And basically, well, this year, Saturn, Jupiter, Pluto conjunct has worked slowly and intensely. You know, the coronavirus didn't just burst out of nowhere. It slowly and steadily spread. The Black Lives Matter movement, you know, all at once, it didn't just come to prominence. It had been working for years, of course, and gradually over a period of weeks got greater prominence. But this year coming, 2021, Saturn square Uranus, Uranus is like a lightning strike. It's just all of a sudden it's changed. So the rebirth is going to be more sudden. Watch for big structures that either need to go away completely or that need a spruce up, a change of some kind, to have sudden and dramatic shifts in their structure. So that's what I'm expecting in 2021, more dramatic, quick things happening as opposed to the kind of the slow grind we've had here in 2020. And that's across the board, all structures, physical or energetic, are subject to that. And of course, the good news is that better structures, the rebirth he refers to, will rise. You know, I already have a vision in my own mind, and my tribe is of the same thinking, that, you know, the structure we're in is suicidal. If mankind continues on the current course of unrestricted consumption, endless growth, and, you know, we're already seeing we're doing horrible things to the environment, horrible things to other species. We ourselves are suffering severely. Our own psyches are being damaged by what we're doing. It's just unsustainable. So we can continue the current course toward absolute catastrophe and Armageddon, or we can get our act together and be more sustainable and sane and have respect for other beings of all kinds, and we can come to harmony again. So the new structure arising will be based on harmony, flow, and a more compassionate, loving thing. Now, there may be structures coming up that are to the contrary, but if you're watching me, my assumption is that you would rather have a more harmonious reality, and therefore don't wait for it to be imposed from up above. This is a DIY project for everybody. So if you want to create this more harmonious reality, like Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. Your job is to be it yourself. Do the internal work, your shadow work, dealing with your own wounds that are stopping you at your own personal level from holding this better structure within yourself psychologically and emotionally and spiritually. And then the more you upgrade yourself into this more compassionate, calm awareness, then you are far better equipped to help the world. So you do it both internally and externally. And I encourage you not to neglect the internal work, because you can only create a reality outside you that matches the vibration you're at. So please make part of this rebirth project the rebirth of yourself, the progressive healing of the old wounds and traumas that are keeping you restricted and under the delusion of suffering, and awaken increasingly, please, to your true divinity, which will then embody in your personal human body and make things just more awesome all the way around. Okay, next concept, overcoming the need for external security. This just goes with the territory of increased awakening. You're going to be more concerned about security and mortality when you're still identifying as your separate human self. The more you begin to wake up, say, oh, I am pure divine beingness that's animating this, and that which I am cannot be harmed by anything in this 3D human realm. When you get your immortality, then security becomes kind of less of a big deal. So you feel more secure in what you are, knowing that even if your physical body dies, the true you is fine. It allows you to act with more courage and boldness with what needs to be done. And also, awakening gives you better intuitive guidance. External security is not just being safe, but also I need someone to tell me what to do kind of security. And the more you awaken, the more you just know what to do within yourself. And the more you awaken, the more you are simply smoothly and consistently guided by your inner knowing. So that also goes with the next concept he gives with Saturn Uranus, an ability to remain unfazed by any extreme. And that the more grounded you are in your calm divinity, and you know your source as an ongoing matter of just everyday reality, you're less and less fazed by whatever drama is happening. And there's going to be a lot of drama in 2021, lots of breakdown, lots of surprising and shocking things happening through the year. And therefore maintaining whatever spiritual practices you do to hold your awakened state, to keep your center, is going to be super important. So I strongly encourage you to do whatever works for you to stay in your most calm, serene, fundamental state so that you can be better equipped to handle all the surprises that 2021 is going to throw at us. And I want to emphasize here, I'm not trying to be alarmist here. This is just what the astrology is showing, and it's all good in the end. You can't be attached to the status quo. There is no going back to normal. The normal sucks. So we don't need that normal. We need the new, better reality. So, you know, your calmness and your ability to hold center in the midst of breakdown and surprise is going to help us move toward that better reality. As Charles Eisenstein said in his wonderful book, which I highly recommend, the title is called The More Wonderful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible. That's the reality I want. Further keywords: delayed or inhibited rebirth, incomplete rebirth, liberation with complicating factors. And this just acknowledges we ain't there yet. The golden age has not fully blossomed at this moment. A Saturn square Uranus year is not a year where we have the final breakthrough and paradise on earth is here. It's a year where we're working toward it. So that just acknowledges Uranus is creating breakthroughs. There's still stubborn resistance from Saturn. Structures, you know, don't necessarily go down without a fight. So that's the main vibe I take from that. And the final keywords I'm going to work with is one of the last keywords he gives in his Saturn Uranus section of his wonderful book is spirit coming to know itself in matter. And your spirit is Uranus. The transpersonal planets, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, are considered spirit planets, and they carry higher transpersonal forces. Matter, of course, would be Saturn, which is crystallized structure. And I've talked a lot already about spirit coming to know itself in matter. I live in a state of embodied awakening that just gets deeper and richer as time goes on. I hope everyone else will too, who's called to that. It's just so much better in every single way. Finally, Wren Butler includes a quote from Carl Jung in this section. And what he does throughout this book, which is a sweet little grace note, he has relevant quotes to his theme intermixed. And he always picks someone whose own natal chart has an aspect between the two planets he's talking about. Carl Jung has in his natal chart Saturn opposing Uranus. So he lives this energy, or he lived it. The quote from Carl Jung is, "Freedom stretches only as far as the limits of our consciousness." Again, freedom stretches only as far as the limits of our consciousness. The prison is within you much more than it's outside you. So again, freedom, to me, the most critical freedom is the freedom of consciousness, the freedom of not just believing your spirit, but having the firsthand experience on an ongoing basis. And that is what I always encourage in my communications for those who are ready to hear that. So if you want freedom, you must free yourself internally first, and then the external freedom will follow. There's a golden rule of spirituality: as within, so without. And you will not experience wonderful things outside yourself any more than you can embody them willfully within yourself. So I encourage you, whatever spiritual path or any other thing you're doing, whatever you call it, that creates harmony, flow, ease, and grace within you, and allows you to just know what to do through intuition and keeps you in that beautiful, harmonious flow state, that's a good thing to be doing. And the more you free yourself in your consciousness, the more freedom you'll have to operate out in the external world, which you will, of course, increasingly see as the illusion and hologram that it is. The more awake you are, the more you have the power to be a positive, helpful influence in that illusionary reality that we call Earth. So that's probably enough. And I hope you found this helpful. If you have any comments on what I've said or questions, just pop them down in the comment section under this, or you can communicate to me directly if you prefer, astroshamanbenjamin@gmail.com. There's a link to that under the video as well. I hope you found this preview of the big event of 2021 helpful. On November 20, I will be giving a Zoom lecture to the Asheville Friends of Astrology, and we'll be giving a more comprehensive overview of the coming year. This is, of course, is the headline, but there's much more beyond Saturn Uranus happening, and that will be available for public viewing shortly thereafter. Thanks for watching. I'm always open to suggestions for future videos, so feel free to communicate to me in whatever way if you'd like me to do a video on another topic, spiritual and or astrological. If you're interested in working with me directly at astroshaman.com, you'll see I do astrology, shamanic healing, awakening activation, life coaching, and I have a membership called Awakening Plus that many people find extremely helpful to support their own awakening and healing journey and to serve the Great Awakening on Earth as well. So all that's available if you're interested. The Awakening Plus is at awakeningplus.com. Thanks again for watching. I wish you infinite blessings as the stars light your way.